after commanding Am Yisrael to destroy all the vestiges of the Avodah Zarah when they enter Eretz Yisrael, Moshe then turns to informing them about what the rules will be for their own Avodah, for the Avodas Hashem, in what ways that'll be different. And one of the dramatic differences the Torah describes for us in the first half of Dvarim in Perek Yudbet, where the Torah tells us in Pasuk Dalet, Lo sasun kein l'Hashem. You won't do this to Hashem. And Rashi explains, you won't be able to just offer karbonos, sacrifices, anywhere you want, the way you could have for the Avodah Zarah. But rather, ki im el hamakom asher yivcha Hashem elokeichem mikol shiftechem la'sum es shemo sham. There'll be a specific place, the place, well, Hashem will choose. And that's the place where you'll have to seek out and come there when you want to worship Hashem. You'll have to go there, to that place, to bring your various sacrifices, etc. And this is a pronounced theme where we see that we are centralizing and focusing Avodas Hashem in contradistinction to the Avodah Zarah, which took place in a very haphazard and dispersed way. The theme continues a little bit later in the Perek, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, which is the beginning of the Sheni Aliyah, Vaya HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokeichem Bo, Lashaken Shmo Sham. There will be a specific place, in that place, which Hashem chooses to dwell. There, Shama Tivyu Eskol Asher Anochi Mitzvah Eschem, Oloseichem Vizivchechem, etc. That's where you'll bring your Kabonos. That's where you will offer and serve Hashem. But do not just bring karbonos wherever you are or do whatever you want. A little bit later, Pasuk Yud Zayin, again, the theme repeats. Losucha lecho b'sharecha. We're talking about Maaser Sheni and things like that. You can't just eat him wherever you want. You can't eat him in your house. But rather, ki'im lifnei Hashem lokecha tochalanu. But rather, specifically before Hashem, you bring him to Yerushalayim. Makom asher yivchar Hashem, in that place where Hashem will choose, Elkecha, Atu Vincha, etc., etc. It's in that place that Hashem will choose. So we have this very pronounced and repeated theme, clearly very important, which is that of centralized worship. Many, many different things characterize and are rejected in terms of Avodah Zarah, but one of which we might not have thought of, honestly, is the idea of Avodah Zarah apparently being much more haphazard, and now that you're going to be going into Eretz Yisrael and eventually you're going to be building a Beis HaMikdash, there will be a more centralized focus. And this is actually contrasted not only with Avodah Zarah, but also before you had that, you also had things like Bamos and things like that, where even within legitimate Judaism, you were able to bring offerings and serve Hashem in various places. But once that centralized place is created, then forever and ever, that it becomes the location. And this really begs the question, why is it so important? It's not just that we have a centralized location. It's clear from the psukim that we read, repeated over and over again, this is a strong emphasis of the Torah, a strong foundational principle of Yiddishkeit, that there's a centralized location such as the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that so important? What is the goal? What are the aims of such a focus? Again, to some extent, living in a culture with shuls, the Mikdash Maat, perhaps on some level we take it for granted, but nevertheless, it really begs the question, given that the Torah clearly is emphasizing it, why? What is so important about having centralized religious worship? So, in a very beautiful presentation here in this perek, Rav Shimshon Shmuel Hirsch actually suggests that there are two separate but interconnected goals. One we could call uniformity of practice, and the other is the unity or the achdus of the nation. First, in terms of a uniformity of practice, Rav Hirsch notes that by forcing Am Yisrael to converge on a central location, to use the words of Rav Hirsch, that underscores that God can only be found by devotion to all of the traditional laws handed down by God to the nation. In other words, by saying that there's this one special place, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, it highlights that there are specific rules which are crystallized and symbolized by that makom. Just like Hashem chose that makom, He also gave us very specific traditions and laws. As opposed to if there would be a nation that would be totally spread out, which could easily splinter into various cliques, each developing their own practices and beliefs, and that would be reinforced because they're only with their same people. And then who knows how many different religions, so to speak, how many different practices of Judaism we could have. It could be completely splintered, unfortunately. And therefore, to make sure that Judaism stays true to its roots, and that whatever Yiddishkeit you're practicing, wherever you live, but it still has to be true and consistent with the Torah. And by having a centralized location that at least 3 times a year you have to come back to, that's a way of reminding yourself and setting the standard. In other words, diversity is great, but it must be anchored, it must be balanced by the counterweight of the gold standard, of an official standard, of a standard, represented by the central location of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's one goal, says Rav Hirsch. He says there's a second goal as well, and that is not so much about the Avodas Hashem staying legitimate, but the people themselves remaining unified. Another problem that could have emerged without a centralized location, if everything was only localized, that we would lose our overall sense of Akdus. It would be completely diluted. Everyone doing their own thing, always with your own people, and that clearly would create a factionalism. But having a centralized meeting point, which is obligatory for everyone, at least a few times a year, but having that shared and common focus, that center point gets elevated above every individual group and draws everyone towards this unifying force and process. A shared common goal, a shared common focus, helps transcend individualism or factionalism, and the whole thereby can hopefully become greater than the sum of its parts. When you have two different, let alone 12 different, but you have two different groups, each one could go their own direction. But imagine the bottom of a triangle. If you have the two foundations, they're parallel, they could go on but without each other. But if you have that centralized meeting, which is above both of them, that serves to anchor them, to unify them in a common goal that is above and transcends either of them individually. And therefore, says the first, there really are two different values which are highlighted and hopefully affected by the centralized Beis HaMikdash focus. Number one, uniformity of practice. We have a standard which we know we have to keep. And number two is a sense of achdus of the nation. It's worth noting that in this parak and in other places in the Torah, there's all right after we talk about the centralized location, there's always connected themes of centralized worship with unity and social justice. And I think this also highlights and supports these two ideas, these twin ideas that Rav Hirsch is trying to focus on.